Okay, so let's go ahead and call the January 3rd, 2017 meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order. And as usual, we will begin with the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Mayor Prodeck?
Here.
Mayor Protem Wolfclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Magnuson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Vaughn?
Here.
Okay, first up is audience communication. Does anybody want to talk to the council tonight? Going once? Twice? Okay, we'll move along. City manager, you have a presentation?
Mayor and council, Larissa wasn't able to make it tonight, so with the council's permission, we'll just reschedule that to a time when she's able to attend.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Next up is pay and classification plan for non-represented employees.
With the council's permission, since I can't see half my council on the side, I was going to come sit down there if that's all right. I feel a little closer, like I'm not screaming at you across the room. All right. So, council, just as a refresher, during the budget presentations, we reviewed the pay and classification plan for the upcoming, well, now biennium 2017-2018. And that proposed pay and classification plan covered two groups of employees, our non-represented employees and our represented AFSCME employee unit. Because wages are a mandatory subject of bargaining, the pay and classification plan for the represented employees or AFSCME employees are not yet ready and can't be presented to the council for ratification because they are part of the ongoing collective bargaining effort that's currently underway. So therefore, tonight, we are just discussing the ratification of the pay and classification plan for the non-represented employees only. And as you'll recall from our budget discussions, we reviewed each position in detail as a part of a comprehensive compensation analysis. And you'll remember the spreadsheets for every position and the comparisons to other cities and the AWC survey. And in conjunction with that compensation analysis, we also reviewed and updated, as necessary, the job descriptions for the various positions. And there are literally dozens of ways to write job descriptions. So the focus tonight really isn't to get into the weeds of what's contained in those job descriptions, but they're provided to you as reference as we talk about the classifications and to start perhaps a discussion of the policy aspects around those job descriptions and classifications. So for example, we wanted to ensure that each position's proposed pay grade was appropriate to the work assigned to each specific position. So the first part of that was that compensation analysis where we looked at the numbers and the job descriptions against the AWC survey. And then to assist you tonight in your deliberations, we've brought those pay, or excuse me, those job descriptions that relate to the non-represented employees that are on the pay and classification plan. Also, one of the strategic budget objectives for the 2017-2018 biennium is to implement a revised performance evaluation system and to update that system. So before you can really design your evaluation system, you have to know what you're evaluating, right? And so the job descriptions are the first step in that process. And so it was really an important part of that work, the performance evaluation work, to make sure the job descriptions were up to date. So that was another reason to do that. I did want to say that since we're talking about the non-represented employees, you'll see from the budget deliberation paperwork that I gave you and what's in your packet tonight that all the employees are on a grade and a step. And I'm not proposing any changes to that currently with respect to any of the employees, and particularly the non-represented employees. But at some point, I'd like to have that discussion with you because I think we have to look at the non-represented, the management employees, philosophically. Do you want to pay for performance and results, or do you want to pay for longevity? Longevity is a very typical component of our collective bargaining agreements. It may not be appropriate, though, for non-represented employees. And so I'd like to kind of begin to have those discussions with you as we bring the performance evaluation system to you for consideration and deliberation and the personnel policy. So I'll just kind of throw that out there if you'd like to touch on that tonight as well. Noteworthy changes. We had, if you'll recall, and I'm just going to give this out as a reference, in the budget presentations, we kind of gave you a functional chart of the city that the budget was aligned with. And I've also attached from the budget documentation, the entire pay and classification plan, even though it's in your packet, is for non-represented. If you wanted to put it in context, I'm just giving you the entire chart from the budget. So, one of the things we talked about during the budget process was changing kind of the director of finance to finance and administration. And so that's one of the tweaks I think I'd still like to go back and make to the job description for finance director. And what we've done over the past year is really grow this administration component of the department. We moved passports from police to finance. We moved IT and the city clerk positions under finance. And I think that's really important, and here's why. The single biggest focus of our city clerk function is records management. And we are embarking on a project, and you've seen the first phase of that, with the records cleanup, if you will, that was done, to really going towards a electronic records management system. And it's a big project because we first have to organize our records to do that electronically and manage them electronically. But we also want to interface that with our website so that the documents are easier for the public to find and have access to. And I think that data access is really the trend of where governments are going. That discussion also lends itself to whether or not that would be a standalone application or more of a global ERP function. And so in order to have the best kind of discussion of that, rather than having silos of a city clerk office, an IT department, finance department, those are the main components that are involved in that. And we've centralized that all into one department of finance and administration. And I think for where the city is now and where we foresee it being in the next several years in regard to those functions, that really makes sense. And we've also put our personnel administration, which is different than the human resource function. Our director of human resources is a part-time position that does policy work, right? That's developing the compensation analysis, writing job descriptions, personnel policies, designing the benefit programs, working on collective bargaining, being part of that team. Your personnel management is your day-to-day functions, processing payroll, signing people up for insurance, taking people off of insurance, FEMLA, all those kinds of things. So it's that day-to-day transactional work that has a financial component to it. And I think the theme that you find through a lot of this, when you look at city clerk, personnel, and finance particularly, is these are all audit-related things. These are all functions that have to abide by rules. And so we kind of want that under our rule, one rule overseer, if you will, and that's Peggy Lauerman. And so we've put that together in a finance and administration. And I think this is very representative of what I would anticipate you would find the city growing into. We've talked a lot about how the city's only 33 years old, right? And so we're growing and we're maturing and we're expanding. And we're not of a size that we can justify having an expert solely over city clerk function and a separate standalone IT department and a separate standalone HR department. So what you're seeing is these bigger scopes. And so that's what we're trying to kind of manage to right now. You see that in Public Works, where we brought in the maintenance function, the engineering function, the stormwater function is now centralized under one department. Community and economic development. Our economic development function now has that tourism recreation component. So again, we're trying to put common theme things together, but make central functional areas of the city. So going back to just a review of the pay and classification plan, the finance director, I would anticipate tweaking that job description to director of finance and administration for the reasons I just discussed. That pay grade for just the standalone finance director was at a pay grade 26 under the plan that was presented to you as part of the budget. That has been reclassed to a 27 based on the AWC survey. That's not changed from what we presented to you in that second budget hearing, but it's a change from how it was previously classed. Our public works director, again, we've eliminated basically that separate standalone city engineer position that Scott held. Tom Gathman, as you know, has scheduled his retirement for this year. We're working through that transition. Scott has been elevated to the public works director, and then he will oversee that public works maintenance function, the engineering functions, the stormwater functions. The deputy chief position has been added to the pay and classification plan. It is not funded in the budget. If you'll recall from our budget discussions, one of the strategic objectives is to do a staffing analysis of what our needs are, come back to the council with those results, and then look at meeting those staffing needs based on funding availability. But what we've done is we've started to build the architecture for what we think we may need, and if we don't need it, no harm, no foul. If you do come back, the staffing analysis comes back and justifies that, we have that built into our architecture. Our HR director, I've talked a little bit about the differences between HR and that day-to-day personnel administration. That pay grade, if you may recall, had been previously classified at a pay grade 21 based on the AWC survey that was increased to a pay grade 23. The supervising engineer is a new position, and that has been classed based on the AWC survey for that. That is a non-represented position because under the terms of our collective bargaining agreement, supervisors are excluded from the bargaining unit. We also have a project engineer in the pay and classification plan that is a lower pay grade, and that is one that would be a represented position. We are at, if I just want to go back, and if you'll recall in the budget, we funded the supervising engineer but not the project engineer at this time, because a lot of the work we're doing in this biennium is really laying the foundation by doing a lot of analysis, putting those comprehensive plans together for pavement preservation and the like. And as that work unfolds, and we'll talk to the council about if and when we need that additional engineering position. Previously, in our original discussions, we had the city clerk slash PIO job at that pay grade 20. We have since that initial presentation realigned those city clerk functions to the Department of Finance and Administration, as I just discussed, and we have separated the PIO functions. I think from since I've been here, one of the things that I've seen is I feel like that the communication functions have really expanded and are really more of a full-time job. I also would like to recommend that we really change the name of this job from PIO, which does lend itself more to thinking about you're just kind of issuing press releases and going to our more strategic approach and expansive approach to maybe a director of communications or director of communications and marketing. Because if you look at the job description in your packet, this person is really talking, is really tasked with putting together communication strategies, updating and maintaining websites, keeping social media current, writing policies, helping us promote legislative agendas. It's just a more expansive role. And again, kind of looking forward the next 5 to 7 years, where do we think we'll be and what we'll need. And I think they're really two different skill sets. And I certainly am not implying that it was not appropriate at the time to combine those. I think you had parts of each job, but I think they've grown now where you're looking for different skill sets and different needs, and it's time to realign that. We also have the recreation and tourism. Oh, and let me go back, sorry, to that job. That was the city clerk slash PIO was originally classed at a pay grade 20. It's kind of a unique position throughout different cities and how they couch those. I find that the communications positions are at a higher pay grade, but typically you want to be more conservative in personnel management, particularly with a brand new position. And so I am still recommending that we keep that position at the same pay grade 20. It's easier to go back and increase something than it is to decrease something. So I think we start conservative and we evaluate that over the next few years during the budget process and the compensation analysis process. Going back to the recreation and tourism manager that is included, we discussed that, of course, as well. We had a recreation supervisor previously. We've upgraded this to a management position and included the tourism-related functions you see in the job description. And then based, again, this is another hard one to kind of look at, but looking at the AWC survey and looking at our own internal equity based on where everybody falls in the pay and classification plan, then we think the allocation at a pay grade 18 is appropriate. The public works supervisor is one, as you'll recall, that we actually did downgrade from a pay grade 19 to a pay grade 17, and that was really based at looking at the job duties of this particular position, and I'm going to stress position here, and how that fits into the organization of the Public Works Department, as well as our internal equity issues of where we have different engineering levels and professional staff allocated. So again, this is really the same thing you saw during the budget process with the exception of the communications position, which we fine-tuned a little bit since then. And at that, I turn it back over to council for discussion and questions.
Any questions?
It looks like we're splitting out the city clerk from the PIO, and I can see the city clerk is still at 20, just like you had said. What is the plan for the city clerk?
The PIO
is at 20.
The PIO communications director is at that 20. The city clerk would, the official title would fall under Peggy as her director of finance and administration, because under the code you have to have an official city clerk. But if you'll recall, in that handout I gave you, we had created a deputy city clerk position to assist. And that person was already on staff in the police department and was doing public records requests for the police department. We have since, through our continuous improvement process, our lean process, we've actually now taken a lot of those records requests and transformed them to where they can be over-the-counter requests as opposed to filling out a public records sheet, if you will, and waiting 5 days for a response. So we've taken that person to handle the non-police public records requests and perform these deputy city clerk positions. I will say that's a reclassification of that job. It's subject to collective bargaining. And so that's why you don't see that before you tonight, because that's still subject to collective bargaining.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Overall, thanks. I'd like to make preparatory comments, particularly that this is kind of a foundation for a later discussion on performance management, performance appraisal systems, which I'm great. I love the fact that you're going to be working on that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think overall we've been talking about our very old personnel policies, and this is kind of a foundation for working on that and kind of getting to a new system. And I'm with you that the management team, the director level team, are different kinds of folks, and it isn't the fact somebody's been in the job for 10 years 2 years or less capable than somebody who's been there 20 years. And so the fact that you're really going to say what I want to pay for performance, if somebody's doing a good job, they should get good pay. And if they're not doing so well, well, then here doesn't mean you get more money. So I like that. I think that happens a lot in the private sector. I think our citizens would be happy with the way we're maybe at least setting the foundations to have that discussion. It's still a council discussion, I'm sure. and policy thing you're going to recommend to us, but I'm happy about that. And I like what you said about the changing the title, that PIO thing. I think the PIO, at least for us in the past, has been a designated person to answer the phone and put out the press release, but this is a different function. So I'm happy with the, with where it's classified when you're looking at it as a strategic communication marketing person, a key part of your leadership team to kind of say, how do we get our message consistent? I like that. Thanks.
And I think a big part of our communications too is not just external communications, but internal communications as our city staff is growing. And, you know, we are going through a lot of change, and communicating that change and the reason for that change is important. And so that'll be a part of that person's job. Also, emergency management. If you recall, we put that as a component of our public safety. And there are actually certifications, communication certifications, for someone on the emergency management team to do the communications aspect of that. So that would be another component. And again, I think that just reflects the growth and evolution of the city and the an opportunity to start looking towards the future for some of those needs.
Oh, thank you. So the director of communications will be the person that's ultimately responsible for press releases?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're just taking the PIO. That does sound like all they do is sit and wait to send out press releases on a daily basis. And thank God we don't have that many things going on in Mill Creek, but you have to be on 24/7 press. So they'll be doing the press releases as necessary.
Yeah, and they will be, you know, the point of contact, of course, for the media. And I think it's important for media that's on deadline that you have a person that's able and responsive and can get information out timely. But it's also that, again, that strategic component of really establishing communication protocols, communication policies, social media policies. And, you know, everyone talks about, oh, we want to have social media, and we do. But, you know, part of it is keeping it fresh. And so you have to have someone do that. Our website, you know, having to keep that fresh and updated and up to date with designs and information and interfaces and, you know, the latest, greatest of what's out there. All those are different communication strategies, you know, that take time and thought of how to do that. And I think this person would also be a really key interface as we continually move towards interfacing our data with our web portals and making that accessible to the public. And one of our goals, right, in our guiding principles is that transparency and that civic engagement. And so that project really lends itself to achievement of those goals. And so that person would be a key player on that team as well.
Anybody else?
I was going to jump in on that, what you said there. You talked earlier about all kind of our audit and records keeping functions being under the finance administration director, which is great, and having IT close to some of those functions, because the data that we create,
having it available on the website,
something, but I think that communications person also plays a key part of that to say, okay, how do we make it accessible? And I think a lot of the tools are out there. Some of the bigger cities and smaller cities now are saying, how do we make this information better available? So budget, how do you make the budget document accessible to people?
I
mean, yes. I see our communications director kind of walk in the citizen's shoes and say, but I think what are the questions they're looking for, not just let's crank out all the hundreds of pages of data, because that's not what they want to see.
What is understandable and what is helpful? You know, what Peggy and I like to see financially is probably way different than what Mr. and Mrs. Joe Citizen like to see. And so you're right, and I know you've been a big proponent of vlogs, and so I kind of have that in my brain a lot. And we joke about it, but I think it's very true. You know, walk in the other guy's shoes. You know, what does that other guy want to see? And so I think getting fresh eyes in to help us with that will make us better.
So the city manager would like a motion to adopt the proposed pay and classification plan for non-represented employees. Do we have a motion? Any more questions?
I'll make a motion. I've got another question, but I'll make the motion to adopt the plan as presented with the minor changes in
job description or
titles. Is that about all you need to change? There's probably some details in here you want to change. It's not a policy level thing for us, but I think a motion is to approve the pay and classification
structure, not so much the position description.
Correct, because those aren't, you don't generally, from what I could see, you haven't adopted your job descriptions before, just the pay and classification plan itself. And so we would like to adopt that as presented with the change to make the finance director the director of finance and administration and the PIO the director of communications and marketing.
That's the motion I want to make.
I'll second that.
And for non-representative.
Yes.
Okay, you had some more questions?
So the question was,
this, you know, so this, these are the numbers. So by approving this, this is now the top and the bottom of the ranges for these different categories. So these numbers are the ones we just used in the budget. But I'm curious for everybody to kind of know is this. Some of these are adjusted to match the AWC comparison,
or they adjusted for inflation, or
how does this dollars-wise compare to where we were before?
So this is the same plan that you had before. If there was any movement, if someone went up a pay grade, that's the only change. The cost of living increases that change the plan are set out in the collective bargaining agreements, and the formulas for those are set out in the collective bargaining agreements. But because we are in collective bargaining right now, none of that changes until we actually get an agreement. And historically, everyone but the city manager, in terms of the non-represented employees, are tied to those same COLAs. So if the COLA for the AFSCME employees is 2%, then that affects the entire pay scale, and the non-represented get that 2% as well. But this is the same pay plan that was in effect in 2016, no COLAs because it's in negotiation.
And all the algebra is the same behind it. We haven't really changed.
No.
Mm-mm. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passed unanimously. Next up is new business, and this is to reappoint Councilmember Vaughn to the Snohomish Health District Board of Health. City Manager?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. As you know, Councilmember Bond was designated last year by the council to be the representative to the Snohomish Health District. Bothell, Briar, and Mill Creek, I'll choose a representative. And Councilmember Bond is eligible to continue in this year. We just need a formal ratification of that to give them official notice. So we have that on the agenda tonight.
We also did Mayor Plenus get Breyer's letter in. We need 2 of 3 votes, and Breyer has indicated that they will be supporting Councilmember Bond.
So I just returned to work today for vacation. I have not seen that, but that doesn't mean it's not in that stack in my inbox.
I'll talk to Mayor Colinas to make sure it's here in the morning, because Dr. Gary Goldbaum, who's head of the health board, has indicated they would like to know tomorrow.
Okay.
So we need to, assuming that we reappoint him, we need to get that to Dr. Goldbaum. And Dr. Goldbaum has requested that we reappoint Councilmember Bond. Doing a good job down there.
Interesting. They want it to be 2. It's not formally that. It kind of ebbs and flows over there depending on.
Yeah, I thought we were kind of in a 2-2-2 rotation with.
That's what I think our ILA
talks about, 2-year stints with us and then Briar and Bothell trading them. And this is the second year of.
Yes.
But the health department wants to see it every year.
The health department wants it every 2 years.
Yes, what we do and what they do are different. The three cities have sort of committed to that 2-year thing, but not everybody over at the health district does that. And sometimes, you know, even if they want to, they may not retain their seat or something, things happen. So they're currently having discussions about what they can do to bring some stability to the board. It's been a little chaotic.
So, let's see, what do we need?
I think a motion to reappoint Councilmember Vaughn to the Snohomish Health District Board of Health.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of extending his sentence? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
I abstained.
Careful what you ask for? Okay.
I thought he was going to vote no.
It abstained. Thank you very much.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an interesting year because they've got a lot of discussions going about life and strategy and stuff. Good luck.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'll have some more updates, and we'll probably have some visits from staff to do a better job of what they're doing. They're doing a lot of good stuff. And this does kind of dovetail nicely with my day job. So the law enforcement aspects of what they're doing, and we law enforcement and the health district tend to interact with the same folks. So.
Okay, so now we're down to reports, and speaking of the Board of Health, they sent me a letter asking that we consider, they're looking to sell their building and buy a new building. And from 90 to 95, Mill Creek contributed $40,000 to the current building. And they would like us to forego our money and let them go buy a new building and then keep the money and put it in a capital fund. Obviously, that's a policy decision. And when I get a letter that says, you might want to involve your legal counsel and finance directors. So I will be getting a briefing at the mayor's luncheon next week, but we have punted it to the finance committee. Peggy was the acting, and she's promised that she'll talk to Rebecca. There's going to be three briefings in the county this month, all day meetings. But we need more information. Some of the cities have quite the investment.
Yeah, and I did, I got an email from the health district about that thing that I looked at today, talked to Peggy briefly about it. I think there's a lot of questions. I mean, in the verbiage of their letters, they talked about how any particular cities may be calculated, so I have some question about why that's kind of a fluid thing. I think we have some legal questions about whether the council could just not recoup that, and so I've asked Peggy and Scott Massal to go to the briefings and kind of look at the documentation, and then when we get that, we can come back to council and brief you on the legal and financial implications of that.
Okay, and my other...
Can I ask a question? Yeah.
So I saw that letter go by, and I thought, oh gosh, should electeds be going to that meeting, or are we covered with having our staff go, as Rebecca just described, or both? I know that it sounds like the health board is trying to say, hey, let's have a bunch of meetings so everybody knows what's going on, because they want to be transparent. That's great. But I was going like, do we need to go or what? And I wasn't aware we had a piece of this. I thought this building had happened before we got involved. So we've got a little piece, but some cities have a big piece, because it was the cities around at the time chunked in some money, and they're talking about, can they keep that money and invest in the new building? Or
that's what they'd like, yes.
They just want
everybody to relinquish their interest. And I believe that unofficially or perhaps officially the county has on their side of it. They've said, keep it, do what you need to do. Is that rumor? That was the impression that I got from the last meeting, that the county's fine with them using that money and moving forward and continuing the good work they're doing.
Help us out, Mark, because you're on the board. Philosophically, I think what happens is that they have this great big old building, and now they're a landlord to a lot of folks because the building's bigger than they need. They're talking about moving to a smaller place that maybe is more economical.
A ton of maintenance that would be required if they stay. There's like $1 million in improvements that need to be done, and they can avoid doing those if they move out a new property in a timely manner. But in doing that, somebody figured out that many years ago a bunch of cities in the county had some way, shape, or form invested in that building and have some say in it. So they're not even sure how much. Like if you went and said, what's Mill Creek's part of the value, I don't think they have an answer yet. They know that the county and like Everett are the big dogs in it, and then all of us have a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the record.
And philosophically, on one hand, if they're going to move to more economical quarters that fit them better and is going to save us all money,
yes,
I'm happy to have them move.
If they're going to do something else, then I guess we care about what happens to our.
And they're already coming around, and I, you know, with their handout looking for help, I've been asking us to consider. So they're not flush with cash. They don't have a lot of money. The costs of, as is the case with all of us, the work they're doing, the service they're providing, isn't getting any cheaper to do. So I think at the end of the day, there's going to be a pretty strong argument to allowing them to just keep whatever it is they deem we have a share of as our donation to the greater good. But I guess we have to look into it and see what we're dealing with so that we can, you know, do our due diligence.
And the council may very well decide, right, that you want to do that for all those reasons you stated, but then you just want to, I think, protect your investment if that rolls over to another building and have proper covenants in place, you know, for that. So, you know, regardless of the decision you make, I think there's just some work to do to figure out how do we keep your position whole, even if it just...
We own 2%, we must still own 2%, right, as opposed to quit claim and say...
Everett can claim it all, or whatever.
And it's unclear. I mean, it sounded like they wanted us to just give up our...
Quit claim our piece.
Right, yeah. And if they bought a less expensive building, then they wanted to keep the rest of it for a capital fund. And we may decide, we may not, but it's a policy decision, and it looks like it's going to be fairly technical in terms of gift of funds and what are our resources. Right, so we want staff involved.
Yeah, definitely.
So, speaking of staff involved, I'll be attending the SNOCOM meeting. I've been attending all the SNOCOM and the CSRS meetings, and we're having a joint meeting tomorrow. We originally started out trying to solve a problem of call transfers, and somehow it's starting to feel more like a predetermined path towards consolidation. And the formats, the way that they're looking about allocating votes on who will be on the governing board for a countywide organization basically has Mill Creek losing its voice. And as will all the small, the big dogs will rule. Snowpack is 75, we're 25. And that's gonna take some policy decisions from this board. They're not looking for decisions tomorrow. And Chief, are you going to be there too?
Yes, sir.
And so sometime in the next month, we should probably do a presentation of where we're at. They're also looking at doing a, you know, analysis of what this is going to cost. And I've already looked at the SNOCOM numbers, and they're wrong. They are not consistent with the budgets that we've approved. So we got to get those fixed. They're off by $1 million next year before they can proceed with analyzing numbers. So I just want you to know that it's getting to be a very big deal. One of the things I intend to ask for tomorrow is I'm not prepared to move forward on any governance models without cost containment protections. You end up with the big dogs in charge and what have you, and the little dogs can get run over. And I understand prorated voting rights and what have you. I know some of the cities are concerned because they're contract cities and their fire districts will get their vote, not them. That may or may not be the case if they dumped 35 pages of technical data on us 6 days before the meeting tomorrow. It was a holiday. So again, I will be punching to staff because we need to have somebody that really has to look at this. I will too. And I'll be happy to forward it to all of you. But I just wanted to let you know that this is in the hopper. What it'll ultimately be is that we'll come back to you. The SNOCOM board will make a recommendation to move forward or not, and then all the councils and members will have a voice. But we are working on it, and it is moving forward. I don't know if it's the right thing or the wrong thing yet. I'm completely open-minded, but I personally would rather have us working on function than form. It's important to Mill Creek because we had 712 call transfers in the first 5 months, which means they went to the wrong place. But we're also only talking about 21 seconds. It's not like we're talking about huge volumes of time. And SNOCOM is being very progressive and taking a look at technology alternatives such as NextGen, which is a way of dealing with cell phones to keep them going to the right places instead of the wrong places. They'll be coming out in February and talking to SNOCOM. So we're pretty excited. We're being very progressive in looking at all the alternatives. But this is going to be a big deal. Also in February is that we'll be, and again, Chief and I'll do a report back, but we're going to get the, I don't want to say final, but let's just say a really late draft on the new CSRS radio system that they're going to be proposing. Right now, they're looking at about $55 million countywide. No method has been, there's no way to pay for it yet. That hasn't been discussed. And the big discussion that will be coming up in April and May is does CSRS go out for an RFP or do they go sole source? So, but again, we'll be bringing that back. So, because it's a pretty big hit. Our hit is about 2%, I think, from Mill Creek. So that's what we'll have to pay, 2% of $55 million.
Bond it over 10 years or something or other.
We could, or they could be looking at going out and doing a countywide bond issue.
Yeah, but bonded somehow.
Yeah, we're still paying off the old bond.
Yeah, the last bond was too long for technology stuff.
And our maintenance people at CSRS are doing a fabulous job. I mean, they've been going out and buying old equipment to have spare parts to hold us together, but some cities just can't take the hit right now. And new equipment is not going to be cheap. And there's a lot of technical aspects. Fortunately, right now, the type of equipment they're required by federal law that brand A has to work with brand B. And so we have options of types, but then some people just want to go with Motorola, which is generally considered the most expensive. They all have different, a lot of people like it best, but they all have proprietary aspects. And so anyway, that will be you know, they're going to want a decision probably in the next 6 months. So we're not going to go all that far out and dump everything on you in one fell swoop. So anyway, those are my reports because I have a really boring life. Councilmember Bond.
No report.
Councilmember Kelly.
No report, Mayor.
Councilmember Cavallari.
No report, Mayor.
Councilmember
no report, thank you.
Councilmember Holtzclaw. Councilmember Todd.
The
tomorrow, January 5th, is the Economic Alliance legislative kickoff breakfast, 7:30 assemble, 8 to 9:30 kind of thing at the school district. And I apologize, I said I was going to send out before vacation, and I didn't. But I'm curious, do you guys individually get stuff from Economic Alliance in your...
Did you see it all?
I think they send it to all of us directly, but I'm not sure. You don't have to sign up, but it'd be good to show up if you're able to,
and there's a chance that
they're going to have a short program, 5 minutes on infrastructure, 5 minutes on social issues, 5 minutes on this, by people kind of saying, here's what the Snohomish County issues are. And then they're going to try to have some
legislators kind of respond back on those and then get a discussion going. So the idea is to have a discussion with our legislators.
And so we want to show them that we're concerned
and supporting those issues. So if you can make it for that,
I encourage you to do so.
And Tom Rogers and I are going, so if any of you want to carpool with us, we're meeting here about 7:20 that morning. So,
because that's coming up, and
I think that's the only thing I've got.
Thanks.
Okay, City Manager?
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on the Mayor's report on SNOCOM and CSRS, because I think it's rather poignant in light of some of the discussions we recently had. The Mayor, you know, alluded to concerns about cost containment, and I really congratulate her for thinking about that, because we're just talking about this 20-year fire contract we had, and that was an original concern, right, in that contract. And I don't want to, I just don't want to leave without reminding you what a big hit that SNOCOM number is in a relatively small budget of ours. You know, our annual appropriations are about $12 million, you know, and about $500,000 a year of that is SNOCOM. And so it is a sizable net for us. I think one of the struggles I have as city manager with some of these boards and commissions is how do we get all, you know, the right members of the team engaged. So we need really finance and legal involved as well. Mm-hmm. Chief's eminently qualified on the public safety side of those discussions, obviously. The mayor with the other mayors on the governance side. But I think it behooves us at some point to have a discussion about how do we kind of tackle these big issues, because so much of a bit of our budget is contracted costs And how are we going to control those in the future? So you guys, as a policymaking body, are just sitting here trying to figure out how to raise money, but how to control the growth of those expenditures, I think, is an important discussion. So I'll just throw that out there for food for thought. In your packets, of course, you have the updated planning schedule. Also, the 2017 audit committee assignments. Both of these things are posted on the ADP website, but we're also putting them in your packet just for easy reference. Councilmember Michelson and I were just chatting tonight. Hopefully you all got notice about the employee appreciation event on January 12th, our annual event. And a lot of those notices are going out through ADP, so if you have the time or inclination just to even check that homepage, do that, because that's where we do a lot of those employee communications, and I try to get everything out through Gina via email to you guys about those kinds of events, but I don't want anyone to be inadvertently forgotten. So that is Thursday, January 12th, is the annual employee appreciation event. And if you don't have that information, let me know, and I'll get Gina to send that to you. And I also wanted to let you know, I think we mentioned this earlier, but we got official notifications. Scott, could you help me out and hand out those documents right there from PSRC that the city's officially been awarded a $720,000 grant, which will pay for half of the construction cost of repairing approximately 7,100 feet of Seattle Hill Road between Village Green Drive and 35th Avenue in 2019. And so kudos to Scott for his work on that, and we're definitely trying to work on those bigger grant awards. So it was exciting to see it in writing and not just verbally. So that was great, and that's all I have tonight, Mayor.
Okay.
On the planning schedule for the 24th, I trust we're doing something to notify in particular the people who showed up in October to talk to us.
And so I have already spoken to or sent emails to people who've emailed me directly, but yes, we are going to be sending something out closer to that time.
And we won't just be discussing alternatives, will we also be discussing fixes?
Options for you, but ultimately the council's got to decide what they want to do. But Scott and I are working on the presentation of what those options are and the associated costs.
Okay.
Can I go back to the planning schedule for a little bit? So we just rattled off a couple of things here. I love it, and I know we're bad at this, but put things down here and just ignore them. We've done that poorly in the past, those of us
10 years.
But I'd love to see those on there to remind us. And the ones we just talked about was SNOCOM, SERS Radio, Health District, even though those aren't going to happen in the next month or two, I'd love to see them down there to remind us those are things that are on our, I think there's a big policy issue, but the mayor's exactly right, that those are not trivial little things that we may need to have an education and think about it for a while and send you guys back and do some more work or whatever. So I think those are important projects to put on there.
Sure.
And then while I got the floor, I would love to, when we talk, when, I think the day Scott was in charge and you were gone, we also talked about an update on the 35th Avenue design project. We've kind of talked around that, you know, and I think it's easy for people to say, oh yeah, that's design and that's what's going to go do it, and it's not quite that simple. At least my understanding is there's still some issues. I'd love to have an update on that, where we are sometime when it's appropriate, just about the more technical details maybe some people want to hear, but I don't think it's a slam dunk, and so I'd love to have Scott give us kind of an update on that.
Sure.
Where that design stands and what the schedule might be or what our
alternatives could be. When we went into this in the first place, it was, do we want to do a lightweight fill that might only last 5 or 10 years
and then come back and have to do it again, or do we want to go
bridge? And at the time it was, geez, if it's only $4 million,
maybe let's do a bridge. Well, this $4 million has turned into
six plus. And I don't want us to, in general, I don't want us to go back and reinvent the wheel, but I'm feeling at some point maybe we should at least think about these other alternatives, particularly if it makes a difference in our ability to get it done in the fashion when the money's available. State says the money's got to be spent in 2018, and the Corps of Engineers is still holding us up, but there's another way around it. Let's talk about that. So I don't know if that's within the realm of what Scott can do or what's possible, but I just love just to know what their alternatives are.
This is not a
slam dunk. And I think citizens think it's a slam dunk. They're just going to spend the money and do it. And
if we wanted to start today, we couldn't.
Just out of curiosity, so when did you guys start the design of that project?
Is that 14?
14? I'm sorry.
I said, honey, I don't know.
Oh.
We've been talking about this forever.
Which design?
Yeah. So there may, I mean, there may be some benefit getting us all on the same page of, okay, where we are, what's transpired over the last couple years, and where we're heading.
Some of the ideas we had in the first place may have been proven that, that just doesn't work. But I think there's a lot of loose ends that are kind of rattling around. Let's get back to a common understanding.
Yeah.
Good. Again, I think there's some...
There were people down here who said, well, why don't you just do it? You got the money. It's like, well,
that money...
It's not a finite project yet, so it's scary to me.
Is there anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one I was going to throw on the list, one more thing. I would love to see us, if there's still a chance, I think this is diving catch time, potentially, from what I have heard, that this potential partnership with the Everett School District to do a field at the Jackson High School. My understanding is they're going to do a field, and if we wanted to partner with them on a soccer field, we would be able to get what we needed and what they needed, and to the benefit of the citizens, half price for everybody. If we don't do something, they're going to put in a football field.
And I just
think we had the design done. I'd love to see us at least talk about that and see if we could
do that. This is
like a grant, an overmatched grant. You know, they're going to put in more than
half the project for this. I think it's silly for us to at least not talk about that opportunity. So I'd like to see us talk about that sooner rather than later.
And to that point, when they originally planned this
schedule,
it was 60% our use, 40% the school district use. It was like amazing split, but it didn't go. But I agree. I'd love to start talking about
that again.
It is about money.
If I could just maybe expand it to be partnerships with the school district, because Dr. Cohn and I have talked about a couple other areas, early childhood education, because we have the preschool, as well as potentially expanding our school resource officer program with some partnerships. So again, those are our discussions. And I think as to the field issue, I think what makes that a really timely and interesting conversation right now is looking at Dobson Remillard, you know, arena sports coming in, and just kind of almost a recreation area of the city, if you will, and what that from an economic development perspective looks like. So we've got that as some of our budget goals. And so we can definitely get it on here as well.
And so I don't know if these are
alternate Tuesday study sessions or if they're retreat topics or whatever, but I would encourage us,
here we are on a new
biennium, this is a chance for us to kind of lay out what we're doing. You've got a lot of things in your budget, but if there's things that we want to talk about,
ground we want to lay, projects we'd love to get done here to New Year, let's get
those. Also, they're going to have bond issues and they pay for the other people's soccer fields, so we should talk about it while they can include it in the payment for it and the
and
their bond issue, like
the other. Mayor Pro Tem Holtzman. Just so the public understands, not factored into the bond, but this funding was already contemplated. We just were able to come through with it, so that the cost estimate for that overlay is $1.9 million, and we had hoped this would come through, and it did.
Yeah.
So just so everyone understands that.
And that grant actually was listed in the CIP verbal notice, but not written notice, yeah.
I agree with all you guys said. I really do think we need to tie it into Dobson Remillard. One of the things that the city manager and I had talked about that I think is important personally is that we have some kind of sports summit, that we pull in the soccer community, the lacrosse, the football, the Little League, and see what all the needs are. We've got an issue going on that I'm working with the Little League and Councilmember Ryan on lighting a field out at Willis Tucker. We've got our 10 acres that we're not sure what to do with. We've got needs at Jackson. And I think it would be good to have all the constituents sit down so we can assess what the needs of the community are, so we can make some decisions on how does it work for us to participate with the school district? Does that help us define what we want to do with our property? So that was one of the things I was going to say with the planning schedule. I agree with you. We need to add other things that are in the works, but I hope that one is high on the, and for me, it's high on the list. We need to figure out what we want to do.
Okay.
I think if I could ask to put one on there, but involves you guys as well. You know, I like sitting here and having a conversation with you. I feel like it enhances our teamwork and our collaboration. And I'd like to maybe put as one of our discussions is some ways where we can reconfigure and maybe put some seating here, maybe for the city clerk and myself, city attorney, where we can just talk easier. I cannot see almost half my council when I sit over here, which I just kind of makes me feel like I'm ignoring them. And I also kind of feel like I'm shouting at the side of the room. And so if you guys would be amenable to exploring some different seating arrangements to foster really kind of teamwork and collaboration, that would be great.
Whatever makes you comfortable.
Okay, anything else?
Nothing from me, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, so last audience communication. Going once, twice. Okay, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.